The rule, dear brothers and sisters, in the ayat mutashabihat that may have different meanings, is not that we go and try to assign one specific meaning and say, definitely Allah said meant this. How do we know that definitely Allah meant this? How do we know? If the Sahaba radiallahu anhum 124,000, we do not have one authentic narration that they said this is what it means. Do we know what it means? Anyone knows more than Sahaba here? Raise your hand. Or anywhere. If you know anybody that says, I know more than Sahaba, in their entirety, of course, then please bring him forward so we can learn. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي. The best of centuries is my century. And how can you have people more knowledgeable than Abu Bakr, wa Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali? Billahi alaykum. And therefore, this is what Imam Ghazali narrated by to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. Someone asked him about the istawa. Says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa. What is istawa? And this answer should really be written in gold, but it's not permissible. Because this answer is really the essence of our tawheed. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib is the student of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the fourth Khalifa. And he said to him, Istawa kama akhbar. Istawa as he said. Kama akhbar. Wabil ma'na alladhi qal. And in the meaning he willed. وعلى الوجه الذي أراد. And in the definition that he indicated. Look at the answers of Sayyidina Ali. استواء منزها عن الحلول والانتقال. And استواء, he's not interpreting استواء, mention, see? He's saying an استواء. استواء منزها means an استواء that is clear from حلول. حلول means dwelling in a place. And intiqal means moving from one place to another place. Istawa, the way he said. The meaning he willed. And the definition he indicated. An istiwa that is clear of being, of dwelling or of being encompassed in a place and moving. Istiwaan munazzahan anil hulul wal intiqal. And look at Sayyidina Ali now. فَلَا الْعَرْشُ يَحْمِلُهُ. Al-Arsh, he's telling them, Al-Arsh doesn't carry him. فَلَا الْعَرْشُ يَحْمِلُهُ. Arsh, even though the Arsh is the greatest in size of the creations. The greatest of the creations is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But in size, the biggest thing of the creation is Al-Arsh. Therefore, Allah jalla wa ala said in the Quran, رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. He gave the great Azim to Arsh. Because it's the biggest of the creation. There's a hadith that's Hasan. Actually, it is da'if, but it's elevated to Hasan. But it tells you, and which means, if you were to compare the Arsh with the entire creation would be like a little ring thrown in the desert, compared to the Arsh of Allah. And Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen said also, which Al-Asfahani and others narrated, and I think Ibn Kathir narrated, I'm not sure about Ibn Kathir though, but I know it was narrated by more than one, that Allah, that Sayyidina Ali said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْعَرْشَ إِظْهَارًا لِقُدْرَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْهُ مَكَانًا لِذَاتِهِ. And the meaning, when the Jews asked him, he said, Allah created that, not like you believe, he's telling them, no, Allah created the Arsh, the great Arsh, to show his majesty and to show his great creation, and did not take it a place for himself. This is the aqidah of Khulafa al-Rashidin. So he said, استوى كما أخبر وبالمعنى الذي قال وعلى الوجه الذي أراد استواء an استواء منزها عن الحلول والانتقال. An استواء that cannot be attributed with encompassing, being encompassed in a place, nor moving, nor occupying a place. فَلَا الْعَرْشُ يَحْمِلُهُ. Arsh does not carry him. The Arsh doesn't carry him. وَلَا الْكُرْسِيُّ يُسْنِدُهُ. And the kursi does not support him. بَلْ الإمام علي said, بل العرش وحملته. The arsh and those angels who carry the arsh. والكرسي وعظمته. And the kursi and its glory and its greatness. الكل محمول بلطف قدرته. Everything is created and subjugated by his majesty and by his power. Not the arsh carries him. The arsh and he and those who carry the arsh are subjugated by Allah. فلا العرش يحمله. عرش doesn't carry him. ولا الكرسي يسنده. And the kursi doesn't support him. بل. In fact, this is still Sayyidina Ali talking. In fact, العرش وحملته. The arsh and those who carry the arsh, the angels. والكرسي وعظمته. And the kursi and its greatness. الكل, everything. محمول is carried بلطف قدرته, with the لطف of his قدرة, of his power and his will. ومقهور بجلال قبضته, and is subjugated by his جلال سبحانه وتعالى. لأنه تعالى كان. Because, Sayyidina Ali says, because he existed in eternity, in eternally. لأنه تعالى كان ولا مكان. And there was no place. He existed in eternity when there was no place. كان ولا مكان. وهو الآن على ما عليه كان. And he is now, he exists now, just as he existed then in eternity. No place, just he existed with eternity before, as he existed in eternity, before creating the place, we're in no place, because he's not in need of a place. He continues, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to exist everlastingly without a place, because he's not in need of a place. كان. Existed in eternity. ولا مكان. Without a place. وهو الآن. And he is now. على ما عليه كان. As he eternally existed. من قبل خلق المكان. Before creating the place and the space. لم يتغير عما عليه كان. Did not change. Was not subject to change from what he was. علم ما كان. He knows what happened. وعلم ما يكون. And he knows what will happen. وَعَلِمَ مَا لَا يَكُونَ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُونَ. And he knows what didn't happen. If it had happened, how would it have happened? آيات متشابهات, dear brothers and sisters, have many meanings. Some of these meanings may attribute organs, limbs, physical attributes. Allah is clear from all that. The best approach to the meanings is submission to Allah, accompanied with the understanding and the belief that nothing is like Him. Because nothing is like Him is ayah muhkama. The meaning of it, of course, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing is like Him, is muhkam. Only one meaning, nothing is like Him. I consist of parts and organs, don't I? And you do. You have hands, you have feet, you have legs, you have ears, you have eyes, you have nose, you have lips, you have. You are a body and you're made up of organs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body made up of organs and parts and limbs and integrals and all these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the creation. Attributing Allah with an attribute of the creation is kufr. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because yesterday I also got another one about hands. He said, Allah said, the hand of Allah. Allah did not say that. Allah said in the Quran, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. And I don't understand who gave anybody the authority to designate which is an attribute which is not. What is an attribute? Is there a hadith tells you this is an attribute or not? Is there an ayah in the Quran says this is an attribute or not? Or is it just hawa and blind taqleed? But then we go about those people who follow the four imams and you say, oh, you do the blind taqleed and we want to kill them. Huh? Because they do blind, they say, we accuse them of doing something and then we go and we do the exact worse than them. Because those people, at least they have, the scholars who followed the four imams, basically they have a long history documented of following the ayahs and the Quran and Sunnah. And Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa radiyahu anhu, did not bring his sentences from the Bible. Yani I wonder for those people who have such animosity towards Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam Shafi'i or Malik, those people did not bring their things from the Bible. Those people deduced their things from the Quran and Sunnah, dear brothers and sisters. Wallah. Wallah. And they told us, Abu Hanifa wa Malik wa Shafi'i wa Ahmad wa Sufyan wa Abi Thawr wa Al-Awza'i wa all of them, they told us, listen, if you don't know where I'm taking my proof from, my evidence from, don't follow me. And they told us, Abu Hanifa said, if the hadith contradicts with what I say, follow the hadith. Don't follow what I say. Abu Hanifa is not responsible for you. Follow the hadith. I am following the hadith, you follow the hadith. That's what they said. So, the translation, of course, the literal translation, the question was, the hand of Allah. Allah. Allah mentioned, if you want to go literally now, I'm going to take you literally through the Quran. Number one, Allah mentioned, ayah, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. If you want to translate literally, and that's not what it means, necessarily, but literally, it would mean, the hand of Allah is upon their hands. That's one, the hand, one hand. Number, ayah number two, يَا إِبْلِيس. Allah tells Iblis in the Quran, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدْ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. Why didn't you make sujood to what I have created with two hands? Two. More in the Quran. وَالسَّمَاءُ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. And the heavens, Allah says, the meaning, we have created heavens with hands, lots of hands. And we are creators. I am the creator. Allah says, I'm the creator. So which one do we say it's a sifa? For one hand, or two hands, or many? How many hands? Three, four, five, six, which? How many? Oh, let me say this. Or do we say two hands because humans have two hands? So we restrict to two hands. Is that what it is? Is that the background? So we know. No. Therefore, we say, number one, we know that Allah cannot be attributed with limbs. Allah cannot be attributed with organs because this is my attributes. Therefore, we submit the meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the creation. When these limbs and organ, and now they say, because the hadith says, another one, Sallu ala Rasulullah wa ala. But these people didn't stop there. They went further to say that Allah has a foot. And the dalil for the foot, where's the dalil? Of course, hadith. Hadith sahih. What is the hadith? Hadith in Bukhari says, Jahannam will be filled. تمتلئ. حتى يضع الجبار قدمه فيها فتقول قط قط. Until, literal again, I'm translating literal, that's not the meaning. But literal so you can differentiate. And that's what they say. Whoever they are, may Allah forgive all of us and guide all of us. That Jahannam, the hadith says, will be filled with people until Al-Jabbar, Allah, the literal translation says, will put his foot into it. And then making space, basically, they're saying. But that's by putting actual foot, because they say he has true actual, what do you mean by true actual limbs and organs? True actual feet. Okay. In it. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالْإِنْسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will fill Jahannam. Jahannam will be filled by jinn and ins. And some people believe that Jahannam will not be filled until Allah puts his foot in it. So the foot of their Lord is in Jahannam? One. Number two, what happened to the rest of the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this about qadam. Because they say qadam. Allah said qadam, that means it's qadam. Qadam doesn't mean foot only. And here is the proof from the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لَهُمْ قَدَمُ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. قدم. Same exact word. And what does qadam mean here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still talking about those believers who will go to Jannah. May Allah make you all among them. And he said, they have a foot of truthfulness in Jannah, basically. What does that mean, a foot? It means a place. It means a place. That doesn't mean only your foot will go to Jannah. Inshallah, all of you will go to Jannah. Because it doesn't, well, just your foot go to Jannah and then we go to Jahannam. We don't want that. Inshallah, we... Barakallahu fika, Sayyidi. May Allah bless you, inshallah. Ameen. So, لَهُمْ قَدَمُ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ. Allah says this. That's not that. So you don't say this is the opinions of Ash'aris, opinions of Maturidis. Let's leave all Ash'aris and Maturidis and Salafis and Khalafis and Hanafis and Shafi'is and all. Because all these people are looking to please Allah and are looking to follow the Prophet, aren't they? So let's go after the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. I'm not telling you qala Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari, and I'm not telling you qala Abu Hanifa. Am I? I'm saying qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these things are created, you know, part of this, alhamdulillah. And we're not saying that these people are bad. Those people, Imam Abu Hanifa, wal Imam al-Shafi'i, wa Malik, wa Abu al-Hassan al-Ash'ari, wa Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, wa al-Shafi'i, wa Ahmad, those people's shoes are crowns that I honor myself with. But they told us, don't profess blind imitation to us. Beautiful advice. SubhanAllah. Sahaba, same thing. Okay. Sallu ala Rasulullah. So Allah says, foot means a place. In the Arabic language, you say, no, it doesn't mean. The English language. I'm not going to talk about the Arabic language, which is much more rich than the English language. But the English language uses that. And I say, yeah, brother Hafiz, give me a hand. No, cut your hand. That means they won't cut your hand and give it to me. Ya akhi, give me a hand means help me. It doesn't mean cut your hand literally. When I say give me your hand, give me a hand, it doesn't mean you should cut a hand and give it to me. It means help me out. Metaphor. Al-Quran used this Arabic language. In the nowadays, you say give me a hand. When you talk about somebody rich, may Allah make you all rich. But Allah make you rich in iman and then money. Not only in money, because sometimes some people have rich only in money. Huh? They start saying, well, going to that masjid on what, Ramsey Street we are? Ramsey Street, that's for the poor people, you know. Huh? You want to live, you know, with the high. Where's that? Yeah. Brother Shifa. Inshallah. By Hollingworth Lake or something like that. Inshallah, next masjid will be on the lake. So we can enjoy ourselves all the time. But then, no, enjoyable with that would be a problem on weekends for sure. Okay. When you see somebody who's rich, what do you tell him? You say, when talking about somebody who's really rich, you say, he's up there. He's probably, geographically speaking, you probably live in a higher place and he lives lower. His mansion is down. Down in the valley, or down by the lake, you live on the mountain. But what do you say? Well, Fulan and Fulan, this man, he's up there. He's up there means what? He's very rich, you can never reach him. You can never get that rich. That doesn't mean literally he's up there. It doesn't mean he's up in the sky. Which sky? Where is the sky? Where's up? Is up here or up there? In Japan, up is there. And in China, up is there. And in India, up is there. And in Australia, up. Where's up? Where? Where's up and down? Allah is the creator of up and down. So when it refers to up, it doesn't mean up and above in place. It means above in status, not in state. You go to work, you all go, inshallah, you have works or you have schools. They tell you, you know, a colonel in the army is above a major, isn't he? Or is not? Is he riding on his shoulders? You see a colonel riding on the shoulders of, because he's above. Literally, he's above. He's above. He's above in status. The king is above the ministers. The president is above the ministers. All these things. This is no. I don't know why we should argue these things. These things are given. But maybe so we can widen our horizons a little bit, just slightly. Al Quran used this language. Used the Arabic language, which is much more richer and much more extensive than any other language. You all know that. And the hadith in Bukhari said, Yunzilullahu. As Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar said, Yunzilu, not Yanzilu. Yanzilu means descend. And Yunzilu means Allah orders an angel to descend. Those people said, no. He must descend. Then, according to the hadith, then Allah descends on the third of the night, every night, the last third of the night, to ask those who have need so He can forgive them. Let's take this just a little bit and think about it. Sallu ala Rasulullah wa Ali. Descending. Before we talk about this, we say either way. Either Allah talk to us in a language we don't understand, or Allah talk to us in a way we understand. If we say we don't understand it, then it becomes useless. Then why did He talk to us? So we must understand that. Descending means three things. Point A, point B, distance, moving from one place to another place. Do you understand anything other than that in descending? I don't. The Arabic language facilitates descending in that sense. If we say descending in the physical sense, that means, number one, He's already in a place. Number two, He's moving from one place to another place. Number three, there's a distance between one place and the other place. Look at how dangerous all these points are. So if they say he's in a place, that means they already believe that God is encompassed in a place and is limited by the place, and that's kufr. If anyone who believes, and that's again the belief of Yahud and Nasara, not the belief of Muslims, of course. Muslims don't believe in these things. But we're trying to know our aqidah so we know who we are. Okay. Now, if they say that He dwells into the earthly heaven, like they may alter the hadith to make it appear like, that means this is hulul, this is dwelling in the creation. The Creator dwells in the creation. And they say that the Sufis are kuffar because they believe in hulul. These people believe in hulul. Dwelling in the creation. The Creator can never dwell in the creation. Impossible. Because that means the Creator is a size and a mass and is limited by the creation. And Allah is not limited by anything. Allah is the one who limits everything. So if we say then, well wait, we have to believe in it, but it's not similar to the creation. We have to believe in descending, let's say, even though it's not yanzilu, it's yunzilu, as Ibn Hajar put it in Fath al-Bari, fi Sahih al-Bukhari. If we say yunzilu, or if let's go with them, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ala Muhammad, salli ala Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Tabarakallahu amma yasifun. If they say, you have to believe in it, descending, but it's not similar to the creation, let's go along with this argument, hypothetically speaking, because we want to go, so you take these hypothetical situations. Descending, but not similar to the creation. Well, how do the creation descend? From point A to point B, and a distance, right? Is there any other way you descend the creation? No. Okay, so it's not similar to the creation. Then it's not descending anymore. We say it cannot be from point A, it cannot be to point B, and there cannot be a movement. Then there's no more. It's not more. Not anymore descending if it's not similar to the creation. Therefore, they have to do similarity to the creation. There's no other way. Or, say this, if they want to believe in it, it cannot be descending as far as movement from one place to another. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with that. Why? Because as I said the first day, we entities and creations are only attributed with two things. Either we can be in standstill or we can be in motion. There is no third state. Do you know a third state? Things, atoms, neutrons, protons, whatever they are. They can be either in standstill, or you can be in standstill, or you can be in motion. Is there any other play, any other state? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attributed with standstill, and He cannot be attributed with motion, because He is the creator of standstill and He is the creator of motion. Therefore, you have to submit. This is what Islam is. Islam is submission. Means Islam means submission to Allah. Submit to the Creator, ya akhi. Submit to Him. Now, therefore it's invalid. So if we take the element of tashbih, the element of likening Allah to His creation, out of this, it would not be descending anymore. Therefore, Al-Malik, rahimahullah, said Nuzulu Rahma. It means he orders an angel, gives his rahmah, is accepts the dua of people. Okay. Let's say, Sallu ala Rasulullah. Let's say then, hypothetically speaking, contrary to the truth, of course, that descending to the earthly heaven, okay, at the third of the night. What time basically the third of the night begins here? Roughly? 2:33? 3 o'clock, 3 a.m.? Okay. How about in France? What time is the third of the night? How about in the U.S.? What time is the third of the night? 4, 5, 6? Okay. So basically, if you go around Earth, because the time moves. So basically, all the time he's on Earth, he's not really up there. According to those, the Yahud and Nasara, of course. And the hadith doesn't say he ascends back. So he's always there, because there's not one time on Earth 24 hours, except there's 3 o'clock somewhere. Move. Take a plane. May Allah give you all private jets. You like that, huh? I know. Money. Of course. Tayyib. May Allah give you money and take the love of money from your heart and put it in your pocket. If you take your private jet from Manchester, England, and go towards the west, every hour you will be reaching a place where it's 3 a.m. on Earth, 24 hours a day. So the third of the night is 24 hours a day somewhere on Earth. So he's always here then. Dwelling, not only dwelling in the creation, moving from one place to another, mass, size, all these things, you know. And then staying on Earth all the time. And the hadith doesn't say ascend. So can he say ascend? If they say he ascends back, they say, wait a minute, the hadith doesn't say that. When, يعني أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه, those who just follow their desires and the saying of people as their guide. And Allah gave us the book and sunnah. I don't know why we should follow anything else. أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا. Do you think you're going to be their guide? أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون? Or do you think that most of them hear really or understand? إنهم إلا كالأنعام. Allah says, but actually they are like animals. Matter of fact, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are worse off than animals. How can you... Creator is not like the creation, ya Habibi. The creator is something, and the creation is something else. No comparison whatsoever. So, then the schools, again, we go through history. Some said the hand, necessarily, if it comes in the Quran now, necessarily means power, or necessarily means blessings, which is actually the meaning of the ayah, because the ayah did not come to say Allah has two hands. Unlike what they say, they want to make you think that the ayah came to prove Allah has two hands. The ayah is not, that's not the purpose of the ayah. The ayah came to say that these people who gave bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the blessings of Allah were upon them. That's the ayah, the meaning of the ayah. But anyway, then we go to say that some people say, no, this definitely means the blessings of Allah. Some people say it means the support of Allah. Some people say it means the protection of Allah. Many meanings, because the hand, it means many meanings. When I told Brother Hafiz to give me a hand, he didn't actually cut his hand and gave it to me. He understood that I need some help, or I need his power, I need his support. When you after we leave, they clean these things. They say to each other, "Give us a hand. Give me a hand. Can you give us a hand?" That means they need more support. That's it. Now some other says, "No, it means literal. He has two, not only one, two literal hands, based, of course, on their imagination.
Two literal. Where is that? Where is this going? We go with the hands, with the eyes, with the feet, with all these things, with the place, with the space, and now it's a perfect human being, isn't it? That's the aqidah of Yahud and Nasara. Therefore, they come to us, they come, of course, now with this hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith al-Jariyah. And the hadith is long, and roughly, we don't want to go too much into it, but I'll tell you, basically it says that Bedouins, basically those people who are totally uneducated, they live out on the outskirts, they live with sheep all their lives. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he's talking about many things, and then he said, I have a slave, a black slave who brought from Habasha, Ethiopia, some place like that. And he said, she upset him for some reason, so he slapped her. The hadith in Sahih Muslim, by narration of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, al-Salami, radiyallahu an. Ibn al-Hakam al-Salami, yeah. Tayyib. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, bring her. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what should I do? He said, bring her. This is narration of the haditha in Sahih Muslim. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith says, the text of the hadith says, he asked her, in this version, in this narration of the hadith, where is Allah? Of course, this is a very questionable sentence in the hadith, but still. Supposedly, he asked her, where is Allah? She said, in the sky. In the sky. And then he turned around and told the man who owns her, basically, free her. She is a believer. Now, some people took this, a regular addition to the hadith, and they start beating with the drums. Dush, 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 dush. This means that Allah lives in the sky. This means that Allah resides in the sky. Putting all the ayat of the Quran, all the ayat muhkamat, all the ahadith that are mutawatirs, xing them, invalidating them, and putting this one, that is hadith ahad, narrated by only one person, and contradicting and invalidating all the mutawatir of Quran and all the mutawatir of hadith. This is hawa. Blind imitation, welcome. Here's the territory. Okay. Here's the, from a hadith point of view, we don't have much time. I would like to actually elaborate more on this hadith. And from a hadith point of view, this hadith, of course, this addition of the hadith is irregular. And Imam Bayhaqi himself, who narrated this, Imam Bayhaqi in Asma' and Sifat, his book, very known, and I urge you all to acquire it, said that this addition, what she said, is not in Muslim, actually. Al-Bayhaqi said that, and Al-Bayhaqi was around the year 400, from the Salaf, radiallahu anhum. Okay. But it is, we have it, in the book of Muslim nowadays, we have it there. Here are other narrations by the same men of Muslim, same hadith, narrated also by the same kind of people, the same trustworthy level as the men of Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ brings her, tells them, bring her, she comes. He says, do you bear witness, تَشْهَدِينَ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ? Do you bear witness? Do you testify that there is no Lord but Allah and I am the Prophet of Allah? She says, yes. Then he tells the man, free her, she is a believer. One. Other narration of the hadith says that this slave was actually deaf. She couldn't hear. So how did she hear an answer? There's irregularity. So you see that irregularity. Remember that we said the hadith is sanad and matin, text and chain of narrators. And sometimes there is irregularity. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and you should all know this, especially those of you who are in the sciences of hadith. He said if one person, trustworthy, Al-Adil, Al-Ma'mun, Al-Thiqa, narrates a hadith, Al-Sahih, this hadith is invalidated automatically if it contradicts with Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. One person, no matter how trustworthy he is, if he narrates one hadith and the hadith contradicts with the Qur'an, I'm sorry, but this hadith is invalid because one person narrated. Why? Why did Khatib Baghdadi, rahimahullah, said that? He said that because one person may say something out of forgetfulness because he's not ma'soom. A sahabi or a tabi'i or tabi'i tabi'in, he doesn't have that isma, perfection. Because what happens? He might forget. Innocently forget. Or he might be mistaken, understood something wrong. It's possible. Human beings. Because there's a chance for doubt. There's a chance that this person may be mistaken in the hadith ahad. If it contradicts with the Quran, sorry, the Quran rules. Second thing, if it contradicts with the mutawatir of hadith. Hadith mutawatir, narrated by 10, 30, 40 sahabis. And then one sahabi come and say one hadith, only by through one way, one person narrates it, and contradicts that 15, 20, 30, 60, 70 sahabas. Impossible. Number three, if it's irregular, never heard before, something totally out of nowhere, shadh, illa qadiha, a disease in the text, something the Prophet ﷺ never said in anywhere else, and one man come with one hadith, even though he's trustworthy, but says something irregular, impossibility, no corroboration, because our hadith, dear brothers and sisters, the science of hadith is meticulously engineered and studied to define details. Or the scholar, the Al-Khatib, they said, if it contradicts the intellect, because the Prophet ﷺ was a highly intellectual individual, he was the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore he cannot say something that is not intelligent, not of intellectual nature. So if he said something that is not intelligent, it's impossible. So, that's one thing. But I'll tell you why it's impossible that the Prophet ﷺ, actually, this is irregular. Why? Because in nowhere in history, throughout the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ for 23 years as a prophet, after he was giving the da'wah, 23 years, he never asked anybody. No sahabi, out of the 124,000 ones, was ever asked, where is Allah? The ahadith are mutawatir. Mutawatir hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and everywhere. It says, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Mutawatir narrations. It says, the Prophet ﷺ tells him, do you testify? Do you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ? That's the mutawatir. If they say yes, then the Prophet says they are mu'mins. He never asked them, where is Allah? Moreover than that, you see how irregular, it's impossibility. Because nowhere else, and this one incident, nowhere. But not only because of that, moreover. I can elaborate on that a little bit more than that, but we don't have time. More than that. Saying that Allah is in the sky does not make her a believer. Let's take it for granted. Let's say, okay, fine. She said, the Prophet asked her supposedly, where is Allah? She said, in the sky. He said, she's a believer. That's not necessarily a believer. Why? Because the kuffar believe Allah in the sky and they're not believers. You follow. Hey, the Torah, yesterday. They said Allah lives in the sky, resides in heaven. But do you call them believers? Believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives in the sky does not make you a believer. That's not the conditions for believing. Conditions is that you believe in Allah, that there's no Lord other than Him, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His prophet. That's the conditions for iman. Have you ever seen the integrals of Iman, Arkan al-Islam, that you believe Allah is in the sky? No. أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, be careful of these people who try to take irregularities in the science of hadith, and they try to invalidate the entire Quran and Sunnah to follow things that are mutashabihat, that may have multiple meanings. Why? Because Allah says, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. They want to assign a specific meaning to it. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And if the hadith, as Imam Nawawi said, if the hadith was correct as such, it would mean he is high in the status. Because the Arabs at that time, and until this time, I told you, when you think about the rich man, you say he's up there. But he's not necessarily up there. He's probably down somewhere. But you say he's up there. But up doesn't mean place. It means status. More than that, why? Because, dear brothers and sisters, being up does not necessarily mean honorable or more honorable. I'll tell you why. The malaika, where do they live? Where do the malaika live? Where's the brothers of malaika? If you want to send a letter to malaika, where do you send it? To heavens. Heavens is the residence of malaika. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, right? And where was the Prophet ﷺ when he was alive here? On earth. So in distance, if you want to say who's up, the malaika were up, but the Prophet was more honorable. So being up does not necessarily mean more honorable. The Prophet ﷺ was walking on earth, and he was more honorable than Jibreel, and more honorable than Mikael, and more honorable than those who were carrying the arsh up above the seventh heaven, even though if you want to say the arsh was up in distance or in place, but the Prophet ﷺ was above in status. Even if he was in the valleys of Mecca. Above is in status, dear brothers, because Allah is the creator of place and the creator of space. And He existed in eternity when no place and no space was created by Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then now we come to the next point, which is important. Oh, this guy is terrorizing me with these things. With these notes. 5 minutes, like. Academic terrorism. But I'm going to ignore it as I always do, so he gave up on me anyway. I'll take the time of the break. And if you don't feel like listening, you can go to the break room. Okay. He's looking at the watch already. I'm picking up on him because I love him. He's a very good brother. We went to his house very late the other time and we ate, mashallah, very good spinach. May Allah bless you and bless your mother and family. But he's the chief, Chaudhry. You know, you can't mess with him. May Allah make him among the scholars that are pious and give him very good wife and very good offspring. Ameen. Tayyib. Then they say, wait a minute, in Isra and Mi'raj, didn't the Prophet, some people, that's what some people think, didn't the Prophet go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let's go to Isra a little bit. Should I give you 5 minute break or... Okay, raise your hand. It's a freedom here. So anyone who wants to go on break, raise your hands. That's also targeting and singling out. You don't understand. That's the discrimination. If I know who it is, then, you know. Of course, then I have all these other people will jump on you. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts in Surah Al-Isra. All of you can open Surah Al-Isra, the 15th chapter of Quran, by saying what? Who knows the beginning of Surah Al-Isra? Allahu Akbar. Beginning of Surah Al-Isra, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, naam.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير.
بارك الله فيك سيدي. سبحان الذي أسرى ب... What is the word, the first word? سبحان. الله أكبر. We didn't even talk about Isra yet. We haven't even reached Isra or Mi'raj. But in Surah Isra, the first word Allah starts this ayah with, Subhan. What does Subhan mean? Attributed with the attributes of perfection, clear of any non-befitting attributes which are like the creation. In other words, Allah, before He even talk about Isra, He's telling you, don't think it's anything like the creation. Don't think that He came to meet me because I'm not in a meeting ground. It's not a meeting. Isra and Mi'raj is not a meeting ground. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا. Took him Isra. من المسجد الحرام. Today we talked about that in Masjid Bilal. إلى المسجد الأقصى. الذي باركنا حوله. that he went from Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, Qudus, الذي وركنا حوله, which is blessed. What is the reason of the trip? This is the itinerary of the trip. Now, the itinerary of the trip of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that round, no? Return. Number one, point of origin, Mecca, Masjid al-Haram. Destination for Isra only, destination is Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And then the objective of the mission. What is the mission? Read the Quran. Subhana alladhi asra, fadal ya Sayyidi. Subhana alladhi asra bi abdihi, with his slave. He took him, Dayk Isra. Mina laylan, at night. Min al-Masjid al-Haram ila Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawalahu. What is the reason? Ba'dayan. Ya salam. Did he say so he can see us? The ayah says, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So we can show him some of our ayahs. He didn't say so he can come and meet, we're meeting and all these things, because he's in the seventh heaven. And he's, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ, so he can see some of our ayahs. Therefore, the Quran, really, the proof on the Mi'raj also, in Surah Al-Najm, وَنَجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَى صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنْ هَوَى إِنْ هُوَى. And then,
وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى إِذْ يَغْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى.
وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يخشى شدرة ما يخشى ما كذب الفؤاد وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. يعني the Mi'raj doesn't say he saw, لقد رأى ربه. It says لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. He has seen from the miraculous ayahs of his Lord. That's why he went. The journey of Isra and Mi'raj, dear brothers and sisters, is to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the objective of the journey, is to show him the miraculous wonders of the other world that he's that no one has seen yet. The worlds of the skies, the universe of heavens that no one has seen. That